This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Roshan and Shaoning. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Syed Al-Huzari, General Manager of Program Operations at Mercy Malaysia, on the impact of the flooding season in the northern states. But in the meantime, we are turning our attention to our local politics, because Malay Mail has reported that a group of young leaders in UMNO have banded together in a progressive caucus with hopes to return UMNO to its more centrist and people-centric roots.
Yeah, they're calling themselves Progressive UMNO. The group is seeking to uphold the ideals of democracy, sustainable, at least this is what they're saying they want to uphold, sustainable equity policies, and ultimately advancing Malay politics through progressive ideas. And one of the movement's founding members is Muhammad Shakib Shaul Nizam, who is the Pulai UMNO Youth Information Chief. And this is a branch to provide a voice for the silent majority within the party, or that is what he's trying to indicate here. We're actually asking you a question on Twitter right now. How can UMNO reform itself? And right now, with 70 votes in, 64% say with fresh leaders, 3% say no need reform, 33% say it can't reform. And so these are kind of the indications of what people are feeling, or at least people on the BFM Twitter account.
Yes, but of course the question is also, what does this mean for the party itself? For a party said to be dominated by warlords and the old guard, can it reform and does it want to, especially at a time when political unity is important? Now, for more on this, we have on the line with us Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham's Asia Research Institute. Bridget, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Now, young leaders in UMNO are forming this progressive caucus to push for reforms in the party. Do you think this push will actually gain ground, or even within the party itself?
Well, I think that it has trying to change the narrative, but it also reflects some of the dynamics that are happening in the party, that there is fundamental conflict over how the party should position itself politically. Should it continue, for example, to be conservative and strengthen its alliance with FAS? And also at the other scale, should it reform? Should it actually engage in towards to move back to the center? And I think the Progressive Caucus is trying to push the latter as opposed to the former.
So with that in mind, Bridget, when we take a look at UMNO, it's a party said to be dominated by warlords or senior leaders at the very least. How much traction will there be for young leaders to rise within the ranks? And do you think there is any support from some of the heavy hitters in the party towards this?
Well, I think it's important to sort of step back and look at kind of what reform means within the party, right? In a sense, the reform initiative really is about moving away from the current leadership. And of course, it's also moving away from the PAS alliance, and it's also moving the party towards the center. And what we would call in terms of the history of UMNO, kind of re-engaging what we call the spirit of 1957, which is the kind of helping to build a nation, as opposed to the spirit of 1946, which is an element of actually trying to keep the party much more racialized and much more the racialized element being most prominent. In terms of looking at the issues of younger leaders getting more power, I think that this is the reality. The fact is that they are a greater in terms of the representation of the electorate, but there is a considerable resistance to them. And I think the attempt to create a caucus is actually to kind of carve out power, to kind of change the narrative and to begin the battle that is engaging and is already happening within UMNO itself.
Bridget, with that in mind there is always this idea of trying to reform UMNO from within, but why not just spin off from the party then? They've got significant numbers. If they have significant numbers, why not establish their own party on the side? Is there just too much support from the ground on UMNO?
Look, the fact is UMNO is in a battle for itself, and it has been for some time. It's not something that is new. We can go back from the 1999 Reformasi era, and the party has actually, really resisted reform. And after the 2018 losses, we saw this tension between reformers and wanting to hold on in the old guard. And I think right now the battle in terms of how UMNO will vote, the different issues of her leadership, the different alliances they're making in the political situation in the current context right now reflects those ongoing battles. And I think the fact of the matter is UMNO is a prize. What is it from the perspective of a political machine? It has the membership, It has a history. It has identity among voters. And arguably, it is the strongest party, especially in Peninsula Malaysia, in terms of being able to mobilize its voters, followed shortly thereafter by PAS. So in this context, I think that leaving actually doesn't actually give younger leaders any real resources and identity that they can work on. So reforming from within and trying to change the party is actually to their advantage, because it offers them an opportunity to rise and gives them an opportunity for them to come into political power.
Mm. And offers them an opportunity, I suppose, to take advantage of the existing grassroots voters. But I mean, speaking of this base of UMNO supporters, how are they reacting to the calls for reform in the party?
You know, UMNO, as I said earlier, is very much divided, right? So a lot of the UMNO grassroots are somewhat confused, right? So, for example, they've been told they're Partai Nasional, but at the same time, its UMNO leaders are criticizing Muhyiddin Yassin's budget. They're told that they're allied with PAS and Bersatu, and at the same time, they're hearing that the discussions are that there are problems in that relationship. And so this extension to say that there are progressives versus the conservatives is actually a continuation of some of the confusion that many of the UMNO members are facing in terms of having to sort of figure out how to navigate the current and political environment. But at the same time, I think that that many also understand that this is about the future of the party. And especially the younger leaders, they understand that if the party doesn't change, that it's going to face a situation where it's no longer going to have the same appeal among its electorate. It's going to actually have to be in particularly a very subservient secondary position. And so this is where we can see this drive to try to change from within. But it's extremely difficult because if you look at the old guard, they hold all the levers of power in terms of the conservative group and the leadership. And importantly, they also have the power to choose who candidates can be in a national election. And, of course, they have the resources to help dominate a party election, which, of course, has now been put down the road. But I think that this is the beginning of an open contestation within the party in the contemporary situation for the next party elections. But it is also an extension of the same divisions within the party about the desire to change the party and to bring it into a different role and to bring it back to a role that I think is more constructive for building Malaysia.
That's a great point, I think, to wrap up that UMNO conversation on. But now moving forward, we heard last night that an emergency has been declared in Batu Sapi. We've got about 2 minutes left here. Were you surprised by the proclamation of emergency in Batu Sapi to avoid an election?
I was not surprised, but I was disappointed in the sense that this is the default solution. And I think it speaks to the three very worrying dimensions. First of all, it speaks to a worrying precedent that's being set about how other elections, a lack of rationale for this, that it was carried out outside of parliament with an inadequate consultation with partners and in the political process. It also represents the failure of statesmanship of basically stepping away and not contesting. And in a sense, it also showcases the continuation of the COVID-19 problem within Sabah itself and the weaknesses in terms of its response. And finally, it also speaks to the shortcomings and the inability to engage in electoral reform. You know, the emergency is a reflection of weakness, not strength. And I think that it's going to be something that's going to be very difficult to walk away from moving forward.
Thank you very much, Bridget. That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, giving us her thoughts on UMNO and its potential reforms, as well as, of course, the latest announcement in Batu Sapi. Shaning, what were your thoughts as well and your takeaways from the conversation with Bridget?
I think one of the key things is the lack of electoral reform. It's really important that actually we use this time to have that conversation, especially with regards to postal voting. Some countries are even doing online voting. The US just had its major elections with, you know, the best ever turnout in history. So I'm just curious, what can we do? You know, because I think crisis like this is not going to be the first time. It's going to continue on and on.
Yeah, and you know, this is I think the key question here is, and I've heard this, I think, from Berset as well, is the contention of what I think, where is the benchmark, right? Mm-hmm. When will the level of COVID-19 be good enough to do a by-election? What is that finish line looking like? There's so much vagueness around all of this. And I think none of us are contending with the fact that, yes, the COVID-19 pandemic needs to be managed. And yes, there are concerns around campaigning and compliance with SOPs. But there also needs to be a kind of benchmarks and KPI in which where we get to the by-election again. Because Batusapi isn't the only one. Garrick is another Batusapi that's in the works here. So we'll have to see what another by-election in the works here. So we'll have to see how that plays out and whether we get more guidance, very clear guidance on this.
I think that's the key, right? Because we understand that desperate times call for desperate measures, but we would like and probably appreciate some certainty going forward. But right now we are heading into the 7:30 news bulletin, and up next, we're going to be looking at the latest news on COVID-19 vaccines with Sam Fazeli of Bloomberg Intelligence. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.